This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Yeah. That's right. We're glad you could join us. It's time to sit back, get comfortable, talk about some weird stuff, and just chill for a while. Welcome to After Hours with the Rise Guys. Here's Madman at 9.
Yes, sir.
Welcome.
Boy, I'm hungry.
I know, man. I'm getting kind of hungry, too. We might have to cut this one short and eat lunch.
Hey, by the way, you know, we can see now when most people listen to this here podcast,
yeah,
After Hours with the Rise Guys.
Yep.
If you're listening to this and you're in the restaurant business, you'd almost be a fool not to advertise your local lunch establishment on this podcast.
Yeah, man. Certainly on the After Hours with the Rise Guys would be a great spot for that. Or, you know, if you're an advertising executive with one of these food delivery services. I'm not saying I'm looking at your menu right now, seeing what kind of food I can have meet me at the house when I get there. I'm just looking.
How about that?
How about it?
Well, nevertheless, welcome to episode 22 of After Hours with the Rise Guys. We appreciate you seeking us out and listening to us for the next 45 minutes to 1 hour.
S&S Cafeteria to you, too. Oh, sorry, I'm reading the menu still.
Oh, man. I'd like to, you know what, I've learned how to make it myself now. Fruit cocktail and Jell-O.
Yeah.
As a child, that mesmerized me. I'm like, how do they suspend it in air like that?
How do they do that?
And now, I know the secret.
Yeah. Now, you could say, well, guys, you finish up the Rise Guys Morning Show at 10, and then you do the podcast after that, so couldn't you just pick up lunch on the way home?
No,
because when we get done with this, it's like 11:45 or so,
yeah.
Usually, because it's 10:49 a.m. right now. So we'll be done by 11:45-ish, far as when we're done recording and we actually leave the building, probably be about 11:45.
Yeah.
So time we get started, and then every place is packed.
Mm-hmm. Even if you order on the app.
You certainly aren't going to get into a Chick-fil-A at 11:45 a.m. anywhere in South Carolina.
Yeah.
Mm-mm. Unless it's Sunday and you're breaking in.
You have to settle. And, God, when it comes to food, that's when I absolutely do not want to settle. And, well, women also.
Yeah.
But food especially.
There are some places I just know they're going to be too busy on my way home. The clock will be too busy in Moonville.
Yeah.
The clock of Moonville employees, a lot of P1s down there.
Tick, tick.
The Wendy's of Moonville will be too busy.
Really?
Yeah. The McDonald's will be packed as well. There's one or two that might not be packed, but it's a place I don't like to go. And apparently neither does anybody else because they ain't good. Yep.
Yeah.
That's one.
I just mouthed to Jimmy what it was.
Yeah. And the other one, I won't say what it is, but I can tell you're thinking it. Yeah.
God, that, yeah. We're kismet right now.
Yeah, you guessed them both.
Wow.
The one without even a hint. The second one with barely a hint.
Well, one of the ones you mentioned that's always busy in your neck of the woods, the one in my neck of the woods is not, but the quality's not there, so that explains
it. See, the quality of this one's one of the best ones I've ever been to of that chain.
Yeah. I mean, if you're going to add Ader at the end of it, there ought to be piles of that bacon on there.
Well, there usually is.
How you doing?
I'm good, man.
I enjoyed last week's
sitting
episode.
You're hungry as hell, but I'm good.
Well, we'll change the subject.
Okay,
last week's episode, telling all the wild and crazy things of how, you know, you hear your grandparents or your parents talk about how times have changed, and even if you think, oh, look at us now in 2021.
Look at us.
You just look at you, unless you're like 5 years old listening to this, which, by the way, that ain't good.
No, you shouldn't listen to this at 5 years old. Absolutely not.
But just how things have changed and progression, what's the opposite of that? Degression?
Yeah, regression. Yeah.
Regression. Regression.
Yeah.
Which one? Both?
Congression.
You are.
Good old George Carlin Gallagher joke there. Yeah. Wordplay joke.
I remember.
Opposite of progress is Congress.
And con means you're going to get screwed over.
Yeah.
Yeah. Unless it's a convention, though. Explain that one.
Well, those usually mean you're going to get screwed over, too.
Does a conventional stove always burn your food?
They call it Comic-Con because you're going to be broke as hell trying to get done.
That way you're going to pay $25 to park.
Yeah.
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 Anyway. Yeah, the thing that I remember that we trailed off on and or I guess the podcast closed on was talking about various laws that have changed. You know, even with, and I still don't have a firm grasp of it, the legalization of marijuana, how that, I don't care how it affects any other state except this one that we live in.
Well, the one we live in, that being South Carolina, where we are governed by the Honorable Henry
yes,
McMaster.
Hank and Mac, my friends.
Chicken Hawk.
On the golf course.
Yeah.
When we watch animals fight.
Yeah. Now, not only is,
just kidding.
Not only does he have the haircut of James K. Polk.
And sound like Foghorn Leghorn.
Yeah, yeah. Now, he might look more like Franklin Pierce, now I think about it. He looks like one of the old presidents. I want to say Polk. I'm going to do a Google search and see.
Oh, listen how fast they go. Yeah. Fingers of Google. God. You know.
No, it is Polk. He looks just like damn James K. Polk.
Will you bring it up where I can see it?
Yeah. Tell me that ain't Henry McMaster.
Holy moly.
I'm telling you.
I just popped out of my seat for that.
From memory, I know that Henry McMaster looks a lot like James K. Polk and has the same hair.
Dude, it's like those Civil War pictures of Nicolas Cage. You're like, dude, that was him.
Yeah.
He's like been living for 1,000 years.
Now, the thing about the cannabis legalization, an issue near and dear to my heart for many years.
In your lungs.
Yeah, is that, all right, so it's illegal federally.
Yeah.
And governors of states like South Carolina always lay on the talking point of, well, we ain't going to do nothing about it till it's decriminalized or legalized at the federal level. Long as it's illegal federally, mm-hmm. we ain't going to touch it, son.
Illegal.
Now, what line of BS are they going to hit us with when it's federally decriminalized in 6 months? Because then they're going to have to find another lie.
That part of the proceeds from weed sales will go to scholarships. Same way they got us with the gambling.
Well, I'm talking about to keep it illegal because they don't want to decriminalize it or legalize it here.
Then you have to have a college education.
They have to find another lie.
You have to take the vaccine.
Because they've always said that, well, the federal government says it's illegal and we're going to follow them on this. But if the federal government no longer says that, they're going to have to find another lie. But then again, they won't really care because if it's federally decriminalized, then all the federal funding for law enforcement goes away.
I want to go to a church.
There's no incentive to keep arresting people for nothing.
I want to go to a church where you're up doing sermons about weed. Like the passion you have right now and the energy level that me just mentioning that just by a sideline mention was like, you're over here talking with your hands, and like
yeah.
I feel like you're just, there's people out there, hallelujah, and all this stuff.
Something I know a little bit about.
Yeah. Well, it's, like you said, near and dear to your heart. That's
mm-hmm.
the thing is, if it's not, you don't give a damn.
Yeah.
Not you, but most people.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so I, you know, whatever that is, I don't know at this point, but.
I just told you.
Well, I mean, again, well, you said you don't know what's going to happen, how they're going to keep it illegal in South Carolina.
They'll have to find another line of BS or follow the feds and decriminalize or. I mean, because if they lose the incentive of getting federal law enforcement funding for arresting people for it, they don't care to arrest people for it anymore.
But that goes back to the jails and that being privatized.
Yeah, well, the prisons anyway, yeah.
Well,
but
prisons.
But they could, but meth will still be illegal, and they could start busting those meth labs instead. They got to work a little harder. But then you start busting those, you still get the federal funds for that.
Well, they
and
won't
you
get
put
their
tweakers,
Suboxone money
You
either.
Put tweakers in prison, and they work way harder.
Yeah, and you won't get the clinics and the Suboxone money.
He still will. He still got pills.
I don't. Shake me up and down. Nothing
hey, man.
Will fall out. Those are Tic Tacs.
They're still around.
Yeah. So I remember the thing that we trailed off on, and you were saying how impactful it was when they added seatbelt laws, which if you say that to anyone under the age of 20 or maybe 18, they're going to be like, that hasn't always been a law.
Exactly. And nothing has always been a law.
It's like when my grandpa told me one time, I can't do an impression of my grandpa. He was an asshole, so what does it matter? And most of my family will agree.
Everybody had one of those grandpas.
But when he was telling me about Johnny Unitas, the greatest football player ever, he's like, in his opinion, that they didn't have face masks and that their helmets were made of leather. And I was like, there's no way, Grandpa.
Yeah.
And then he showed me a picture or put out the encyclopedia or whatever it was and showed me. And I was just dumbfounded. So for a child or someone 18 younger maybe to know that that used to not be a law is hard to comprehend.
Well, laws against bestiality had to be written because people did it.
That's illegal?
If nobody ever did it, there wouldn't be a law against it.
Yeah.
But enough people did it that they had to write laws.
Well, man, yeah, but there's that weird alternate universe way of thinking that you look at, you know, incest is illegal.
Mm-hmm.
But then you look at the monarchy.
You hear that, Alabama?
But you look at the Brits or any kind of royal bloodlines family. They're telling you not to do that.
Yeah.
But they do it. I think that over there, I think they have sex with each other. Dogs, cats.
Am I doing a podcast with Lynn Wood right now?
Who's that?
The guy's you know who he is. I thought he was a lady for the longest time.
Yeah, but so my point with that is it's what always happens with any kind of governmental body is do as we say, not as we do.
Yeah, yeah.
We're going to overspend, but you can't spend more than your credit limit.
Yeah.
We're limiting you.
I remember the very first time my dad ran afoul of the law on a seatbelt ticket. I was with him in the car, and this was 1999, seems about right.
What year do you know?
It was shortly before that, like 98 or 99 is when the seatbelt law went into effect in South Carolina. Well, anyway, we still don't have a motorcycle helmet law.
Well, that doesn't surprise me. I did not realize that. I thought that was during my high school years or pre.
Let me look that up while we're talking
about it.
I just remember the night that my dad got his first seatbelt ticket, but I want to say it hadn't been a law for a very long time by then.
The thing is one of my earliest childhood memories being in a car, it was one time when my mom went back to work after being laid off from the textile mill, and my grandma was working at the time as well. So they had to take me and Angel to a daycare center, and we were only there for like 3 days before whatever happened. I don't remember what, but I remember driving, and we were in the floorboard of the car crying because we didn't understand what a daycare center was. Like, we didn't know if they were going to come back to get us, if it was they were abandoning us, you know, if we were going to be wards of the state or orphans or whatever. Connie Maxwell was going to come get us and take her to her kid's house, children's home. Well, I remember being in the floorboard of a moving vehicle with my sister and Ann Murray. It was playing on the radio. And every time I hear Ann Murray, I associate with crying, going to daycare, and being able to fit in the floorboard of a 76 Nova.
Yeah.
Is what they were driving at the time. What'd you find? I was just stalling as hell just to get you in.
No, I know you were. I'm just trying to read.
That's true, everything I just said, though.
I'm reading the South Carolina Code of Laws right now.
Oh, dear Lord.
The driver and each occupant of a motor vehicle, which, when it is being operated on the public streets and highways of this state, shall wear a fastened safety belt, which complies with all provisions of federal law for their use. The driver is charged with the responsibility of requiring each occupant to wear a safety belt or other child restraint system as provided in Article 47. All right, so this law originally passed in 1976. I was way off.
Well.
But my dad never ran afoul of it until 1999 after we had gone to see ECW at Spartanburg Memorial Auditorium. And we were on the way home from that show when a mile from the house, he ran through a license check. And it was the first time he'd ever gotten a seatbelt ticket.
And
apparently 23 years of driving since that became a law, he never got a ticket for it until that night.
We didn't go to that show together?
No, my dad did that one.
Oh.
And he really never liked Bubba Ray Dudley after that because all the cussing and sexual innuendos and beating people up stuff.
Oh, and fighting up in the stands
with
Balls Mahoney.
Yeah. So on the way, and my dad, that was about the maddest I ever saw him is when he got a seatbelt ticket. like $40 seatbelt ticket, I want to say it was. And it was the angriest I ever saw him, I think. Not that he did anything or lashed out. He just was that kind of seething older man mad, where he didn't want to talk about anything for like 2 days afterwards because he was just pissed off about that $40 coming out of his pocket because he didn't wear his seatbelt.
Right.
Oh, it was funny to see him get that mad about it.
What, see,
this is interesting.
What you're saying, are you, oh, about the seatbelt law?
No, just about some of the, like, when these laws came to be.
The seatbelt law, well, I was just thinking two different things. One, I'd love to hear what your dad thinks about the masks going into stores now.
Yeah.
Actually, I think I know the answer. It'd be the same one my daddy'd say. It's my damn life. I can take it into my own hands.
Well, it's their store, and they can tell you what to do.
Well, I don't like seatbelts either.
Yeah.
I should be able to smoke where I want to smoke. But it definitely wasn't an enforced thing by any means, because I remember well into the 80s, I think part of it too, and without going really too far into it, I think that it wasn't, maybe I'm wrong, but I'm looking at this from a point of view of a white dude, but I'm just thinking about now, like, now it's a way to stop, I feel like, from law enforcement. So if they see somebody not wearing a seatbelt, it's a way to stop them. And then they're not just trying to ride a $40 ticket. They're wanting to see what it smells like in your vehicle. They want to look down into your vehicle. And then, you know, you mind if we search your vehicle?
It's almost a little, a traffic stop is very, all right, of all the amendments of the Constitution, the one I feel is most often stamped on is the Fourth Amendment, which is unreasonable search and seizure. Any traffic stop kind of leads to some violation of your Fourth Amendment rights, in my opinion, and in the opinion of any defense attorney who ever practiced law.
Because how could you argue in a court that, well, I said that it smelled like weed in the car. But how do we know that it really smelled like weed in the car?
Yeah.
We can't go back on his smell history.
Yeah, I mean, you can just
wipe mine clean, by the way.
You just have to go by what the
this came from the bathroom.
I mean, if an officer says he smells it, then he smells it.
Sure.
And there's no recourse to that. It's just that's what it means, is it? No, he smelled it.
Yeah. If he smelt it, he dealt it, is what I was always taught.
And plenty of times, look, we know plenty of great officers, and I'm not trying to disparage any of them, but
I'm basing this off watching live PD, to be honest.
Plenty of times, there's been a case of, you know, an officer, this smells like marijuana in here, and then you don't find anything. So did it really smell like marijuana in
That's
there?
What
you
I'm
just
mad.
Want to look.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, kinda. And then that is iffy constitutionally, in my opinion.
But here's the thing, though. What I'm saying about the live PD stuff is that they would say, and this is varying states, like Texas. I mean, I don't know what it is now, but like in Texas, they will get your ass with marijuana. I mean, you're going to jail.
Yeah, they have some, or at least last I checked, they had pretty strict laws about it.
So if a officer would go up and say, by the way, it smells like weed in here. You've been smoking weed? No. You mind if we search the vehicle? Yes, I do. All right, well, fine. We're going to call the dogs out here.
Yep.
And 99% of the time, yeah, the dogs find weed.
Yes.
You know, so thank God you haven't trained your dogs to do that.
No.
Keep you up at night.
I wish they could.
Oh, man.
All right, so I was looking at the seatbelt law in 1976. It was originally passed here in South Carolina. Now, what's interesting is that it was 1984 or 1985 when South Carolina passed the open container law. So you had to wear a seatbelt in 1976, but as long as you had a seatbelt on, it was cool to drive around drinking a beer.
Wow.
God. And for 10 years, you could drive around drinking a beer with a seatbelt on.
That's the best example of things just being a whole switcheroo, bass-ackwards kind of. Wow.
I have been looking for this story kind of in the background of the podcast for a few minutes. A January 26, 1985 article from the LA Times, allowed in 26 states, drinking and driving, illegal mix. At that point, January 26, 1985, you could still drive and drink a beer. As long as you weren't drunk, you could still drive with an open container alcohol in 26 states. South Carolina and Iowa passed laws in 1984 against it.
Just, man, that is so crazy. Why does that make me feel old? I mean, it does.
I mean, this, yeah, these are things that happen in our lifetimes. Think about it. I mean, when I was born, you could still drive around with it. Well, it probably had just passed shortly before that, but shortly before I was born, you could drive around with an open container. You could drive around drinking beer.
Yeah.
And that explains to me why when I was a young lad, my grandpa always had a Natty Light in a little brown sack, brown paper bag, driving around drinking. Oh. I mean, I never saw him. Look, I don't condone drinking and driving.
No.
I never saw him behind the wheel drunk. Never had a problem or an accident or anything. He never was driving like he was hammered or anything.
Yeah.
He just would always take a beer for the road and sip on that Natty Light when we were going to visit his cousins or his sisters in Georgia or whatever.
Anything in moderation. Like, I would rather be in traffic with...
That's what he'd always done his whole life.
An older dude like that who's probably, let's say, 50% pickled at that age.
Yeah.
Maybe. Sipping on his beer than some 21-year-old girl who's drank 10 Starbucks.
Yeah.
Going 90 miles an hour.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't realize it, but you just...
You get a little jittery on the caffeine.
Yeah, it's called speed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that's why it's called speed. Because that's how you're going to drive. Like hell.
Yeah, but guys like my grandpa and my grandpa on that side and my dad were not that far apart in age. So I'll say my grandpa was around 50 and my dad was around 45. Uh-huh. When they passed the open container law. So they'd been drinking and driving for 30 years.
Good Lord.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.
Wow.
Like, they've been driving around drinking beer for 30 years, and it was always cool to do. But all of a sudden, it isn't. So, yeah, I understand how those guys have a hard time with that. Or my dad having a hard time with the seatbelt law 23 years later.
But then it's so weird how, I'll give you a good example. Remember I told you several days ago or last week or whenever it was, I'd been watching that, it's not Game Show Network, but it's called Buzzer, B-U-Z-Z-R.
Yeah.
They just show old reruns of like Price is Right and stuff. And I'm not, understand my point of view here. I'm a child of the 80s. You know, things have changed so much. But when I see like Bob Barker kissing women on the lips, or I see Gene Rayburn on Match Game telling a woman to stand up so he can see what her curves look like, and I'm like, oh, my God, what is he doing? Oh, my God. Richard Dawson is smoking a cigarette on the panel, right? And it just, like, TV, the internet, news, everything just kind of forms our mind to say, oh, my God.
Hey, those guys, too, on those shows back then were, I mean, Rayburn and Rayburn was just as bad as Dawson. They were quite touchy-feely with the contestants.
And the guests.
And the panelists both, yeah.
Go up and say, oh, stand up. Yeah, I just said that. I want to check out your curves and kiss me on the lips. I just won you $1,000.
Yeah, they'd be touching on some people in ways that make me uncomfortable if you touch me like that.
But we see it now. Like, sometimes when I watch TV now in 2021, you know, I'm like, they're not wearing masks. Oh, this is from 17. It's like, I don't know reality once I go outside the house.
Yeah. Well, you should try Piedmont sometime where if you walk in I'm any good. Place wearing a mask, everybody looks at you like your head's on backwards.
Oh, I know, Eva.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, look at you wearing your mask. What, you scared you might die? Look, he wants to live, son, dumb son bitch. He don't want a ventilator.
My daddy wouldn't be into it. I know how he'd
I know plenty of people who aren't, man, but I don't have anybody else I can rely on to check on my dogs and take care of them the way they need to be taken care of, and I don't want to miss work because if I start missing work, I start losing out on some money. So yeah. There's a lot of reasons to just stay home and wear a mask to Ingles.
Yeah.
Plus, it's their store, and they have a big sign out front that says I have to wear a mask.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's their property, so I kind of got to play by their rules.
that's kind of the way I look at it too. Plus, you know, the thing that, you know, what if, you know, God, I hate that this is turning into, but what if, you know, you.
It is change. That's what we've been talking about.
What if you have something, it could be anything, that you're carrying it around, you're going to go out in public. You don't want to get it on anybody. You know how much it sucks to not feel good. Why would you want to?
Yeah.
Do that.
I think this is going to be good long term, make people not go breathing the flu on each other as much as we have my entire life up to this point.
Yeah.
Because we never gave a second thought to giving other people the flu or spreading the flu around society like it's just, here, have some flu.
Sure.
Let me cough on you while I have the flu.
Flu-like symptoms.
Yeah. Yeah.
Flu-like. That's another thing, too, is the, you know, with COVID. Again, I have to preface all these conversations with a podcast. It goes on forever. So this is 2021 that we're talking.
But, yep.
You know, I mentioned before the passing around of a funny cigarette or moonshine. How many times you passed around those jars? Like, you still will. That won't be the same for a long time. They'll still be your buddies, your girlfriend, your boyfriend, your wife, husband, whatever. But you won't be at those parties where there'll be like 12 people deep and you know like four of them and you're passing around something. I don't think.
The last time
I'm a germaphobe always.
Last time I was at a bar, I stopped in at happy hour because I knew wouldn't anybody be there and I just wanted to stop in and have a beer and get a sandwich to go. Somebody who was working there looked at me and said, "Hey, I'm going to go out back and smoke a blunt. You want to go?" And I'm like, "Nah, I'm good. Pandemic going on.
I have to drive also."
I didn't even say pandemic going on, but then she looks at me and says, "Oh, no, it's cool. We won't share. I'll just cut you off a little piece and I'll have a little." And I'm like, "Nah, I'm good. You enjoy the whole thing." Just change.
Yeah.
It's different. It's not
a
world.
That's not a bad thing. But with.
That's how they're doing it now, apparently. I've been at the house ever since that day. That's the last time I went out anywhere.
Oh. The open container thing. This is going to be. I just have to speak at will, okay?
No, go ahead and do it. I got something if you fall down.
Judge Jimmy and those listening right now, judge me if you will. There was, I won't mention, well, one of the guys' names because I've understood he's a church-going guy, doesn't enjoy when I mention his name.
I got a shotgun in my trunk right now, man. I can't judge nobody.
I don't know where to take. I don't know if you're being serious or not.
No, I really do.
Okay.
12-gauge Stevens pump.
Okay. I didn't say I didn't know if that was a weed reference or.
No. It was a real shotgun.
Or a former coworker.
A literal firearm.
What was I saying, Jim?
You were talking about.
You scared
about
me for a moment.
No, you were talking about the open container thing.
Oh, yeah. So, judge me. So, we were going to. This was in the year, I believe, 94.
Year of our Lord.
94. And we were going. Me and my buddies were going to Fulfer.
Fall for Greenville. It's a big fall festival in October here in beautiful Greenville, South Carolina.
Or
it was until last year.
One of the friend's parents were out of town, so we were pre-gaming at his house to go down there and, you know, chase the skirts around. Because we couldn't go down there and buy because we were underage.
Mm-hmm.
It's like 18, 19.
Yeah.
Long story short,
you had to save all that money and not buy beer down there?
Yeah, right. Tickets. You bought the tickets. You forget how much you're paying.
Yeah.
It's the good scheme. So we pre-gamed over there. Well, one guy was driving, another guy was in the passenger seat, three deep on the back row of this guy's car. We had all been, but not in excess, two or three beers at most each, and also a passing around of a funny looking cigarette.
I know you were very responsible young men.
So
yeah, this isn't looking good for you so far. I don't believe you were responsible. That was sarcastic.
There was this guy, there was another guy. There was another guy, there was Reuben, and there was me. And I had finished drinking at the house. I drank my half. Yeah, so it was three. I drank my half of the six-pack. That's the way we would
spend. Yeah.
four of them had open containers.
Uh-huh.
We're going to Fall for Greenville. Long story, we go down Rutherford Road, cross over these railroad tracks, and as we got to the top of the railroad tracks to go down, we see two cops on each side. They're doing a license check.
Yeah.
It's like a Friday or Saturday. Well, the question was asked, who's drinking in the car? And the four of them, one of them had put it down between his legs. Obviously, it was his. The other ones, literally, like two of them had him in the hand. The other one had him in the cup holder. Somebody and then me did not have any in there.
Mm-hmm.
So they got obviously ticketed. Two of them who were under 18 got their parents called. Me and other friend who did not have a can in the vehicle did not get anything. Two of those who did get in trouble, two of the four, called me and my friend pussies for not taking the hit also.
That's stupid.
Who said that?
Yeah, that's entirely stupid. Because, I mean, it's,
why? That's not going to make it even better that I have to suffer also.
I'm not going to admit to a crime if there's no evidence I've committed a crime. Never.
I had been drinking.
Yeah, but
I had been.
There's no evidence that you've been drinking unless they want to do a blood test or something. You're not driving, so I don't think you qualify for any kind of breathalyzer. There's no reason to do a blood test. You're not operating a vehicle. There's no reason you don't have an open container in your hand. There's nothing to. I mean, all right. There's no evidence, and you're not going to look into this any further, so I'm just going to say no.
And I answered the question.
Yeah.
Who in here is drinking?
You had
drinking.
You had the option to stay out of trouble or get into trouble.
Yeah.
And the best choice is usually to stay out of trouble, especially for something as a little piddly like that in that case for you.
You know what's so crazy is as we go over the railroad tracks and I see the blue lights, I instantly see my mother's face in my head.
Yeah.
That's the first thing I thought. It wasn't Jesus. It was my mom.
Mm-hmm.
Matthew.
Yeah.
She never, oh, Lord, she doesn't know how to do this. She does not know that story to this day. And if you run into my mama, don't you dare do it. She thinks I'm on a different wavelength now.
She knows better.
Well, at least that's the way she perpetuates me.
But the thing is that if you're in a group of people and there's some legal trouble pops up, you don't ever want everybody to get arrested because somebody needs to stay out to mobilize getting y'all out of jail.
It's like on live PD, that somebody they'll find a meth pot. They're like, all right, whose is it? Nobody wants to claim it. They're like, all right, look, new rule. If nobody claims it, you both get charged. Why wouldn't the person who had it say, you know what, we're both going to get charged. I'm not going to screw your life up.
And if it's property of both of you, well, you both are in trouble then. That's just how it is.
I still think one of them should be the martyr. If we got caught with a meth pipe, Jimmy, and we were both methed down, this would never happen.
No.
I don't feel like I could enjoy that.
Mm-mm.
Nor would I try. If they said, hey, look, we're not going to, you know, we're going to charge both of you. And if I knew it was yours and you wasn't going to say anything, I would be that martyr.
And tell them it was mine?
I would say, that's his. Check it.
Yeah, but that's different because then you're dealing with tweakers and you can't trust a tweaker.
I'm methed out when I'm trying to think that way. I'd be like, yeah.
You're going to tell him it's mine and you're going to rob my house while I'm locked up. You're going to take everything I didn't already pawn for more meth.
He's going to be like, hey guys, I got somebody out here. These guys are too fat to be meth. I don't know whose meth pipe this is.
Yeah.
No, but I've learned recently that there can be fat meth.
Absolutely, yeah. Dude, trust me, I know some people who have some habits that I don't agree with, and these are people you wouldn't expect to have those habits because they hold full-time jobs and own property and stuff.
Oh, my God.
But, I mean, they're regular users of some stuff I wouldn't touch.
Oh, God.
And I've touched some stuff, but I wouldn't touch that stuff.
Oh.
Yeah. Touching your stuff right now.
Yeah, I was wondering what that was. Well, you know, that gives me a little bit of ease. That's something I've never even shared with a therapist or anybody.
Yeah, that's...
And for all these years, I felt like, God, was I?
No. Not in that case, man.
Oddly enough, one person in the middle, in the back seat, was not wearing a seatbelt, and no questions about that.
No.
So ultimately, it's not about the safety precautions of it.
Yeah.
But I feel like even if I was around driving when seatbelts became a thing in the car, I think I still would have wore it.
I don't know. Those old-timey 70s seatbelts suck. They were always tangled up and tied in knots, and you couldn't get them unfurled right.
Well, yeah, they were not.
Pain in the ass.
But then they got that stuff in like the late 90s where you'd get in and it would go over the top for you.
Yeah.
I used to get blindfolded and strangled about every time I got
in the car. Those things were stupid ideas, too.
That was so stupid.
Dumbass idea, man.
God bless.
Dumbass idea. You know, man, I miss a lot of those. I guess it comes back to... A lot of change I do like, but a lot of change I don't like because there's certain things we used to do when I was a kid just as a family or a group that people don't do anymore. And I
don't, mooning?
No, like with the camping trips with where all the men on the one side of the family and all the cousins and stuff would all, and some of the friends of the family would all go down to the Chattooga River or up to the Chattooga River because it's in the mountains and just go primitive camping for a long weekend. And it'd be like 12, 15, 20 dudes there.
Yeah.
Just all the old men and middle-aged men and young men and the boys. And I mean, everybody from like, they'd start taking you when you got to be about 8 or 10 years old.
Yeah.
And then everybody from there up until they were too old and decrepit to keep going, they all would go once or twice a year, every year. And then everybody stopped about the time I was 13 or 14. And I don't see big groups of people doing stuff like that anymore. It used to be commonplace, though. I mean,
You need to have a child, Jim.
That's when I sold all the, and a big family and a bunch of friends that don't exist. That's when I sold all the wrapping paper in fourth grade. And I won the trip to Chuck E. Cheese and the limo and all that.
Oh, man.
Yeah, I didn't even show up for the limo ride and the trip to Chuck E. Cheese. I skipped school that day because I went camping with my grandpa and all my uncles and cousins and stuff.
Oh, I thought that was the party where you could have 25 friends there and you could only come up with like 8.
No.
It might have been Fat Boy.
Chuck E. Cheese thing was just me and the other two kids who sold the top 3 wrapping paper sellers.
Yeah.
Got the limo trip to Chuck E. Cheese. And like free play of games and stuff.
Did you do well with the? I mean, you said you were top 3, but like, was it really selling? That's like always sympathy sales, right?
I think I was second place. My mom bought a good bit.
That's the thing, dude.
My mom and my aunts and grandmas, they bought a lot.
I sold candles in school, and I thought I did so great. My mom would take it to work, and daddy would take it to work, and then you'd look all throughout the house, and oh, look, there's another candle.
Another candle.
There's another candle.
We got wrapping paper for decades.
God bless.
Yeah, that's how that was. But yeah, so I won the thing, or I was second place overall. Somebody must have had really rich parents.
Yeah.
So I won the second place in the thing. But yeah, I didn't want to go. I mean, I wanted to go on the limo trip to Chuck E. Cheese, but I remember when it was brought up that, hey, that's the day we're leaving to go camping. I was like, I want to go camping. I don't want to go Chuck E. Cheese in a limo.
Do you think part
of that? I was a
showbiz
pizza guy anyway.
You've already mentioned him, so I'm not trying to bring you down. But do you think that when your father, well, he died years later, but it was shortly there, it was close to there. I was wondering if that took that cog out, or was that on Moose's, your mother's side?
It wasn't on his side. My dad's family never did anything together. He wouldn't have gone camping for nothing.
Okay.
His idea of camping was a nice motel.
Oh, yeah, you said the uncle.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I go with
Uncle Herman.
But no, that's the other side. Right. I'd go. Yeah, I'd go with my step grandpa on my mom's side to be accurate about it. That's who we'd go camping with. That's when I dropped the big boulder on my foot, and that's when I burnt my face with the flaming marshmallow skin. That's where we got attacked by the beaver on the sandbar.
Did you just call it flaming marshmallow skin?
Yeah, yeah, that's kind of what it was.
But it would just be a flaming marshmallow.
It was like a marshmallow husk.
It's like it's not like a casing of a sausage.
No, because the most of the marshmallow was still on the end of my stick. I was roasting a marshmallow, and my cousin Michael was showing me how to do this.
Oh, my God. Marshmallow.
Yeah, I'm roasting the marshmallow, and I got it in the fire, and he would burn them pretty much to a crisp on the outside where they'd be flaming. And then he would fling that off of there.
Jerk.
And you're left with just the gooey center, which is delicious.
Oh, I thought he would fling it at you.
No. He was just showing me how to fling the burnt part off, and then you just get the gooey center. That's how he liked to eat some of his. So I'm trying to do that, but when I went to fling mine, it went straight up in the air, and then it came down and scraped along my cheek and gave me a nice little burn on my face that I had for a couple years.
If you just tuned into the podcast, we're talking about s'mores, by the way.
Yeah.
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 Just point that out.
There were so many good memories. We dammed up a creek with sandbags one time, broke my foot one time. Got attacked by a beaver, flaming marshmallow.
Maybe
fish
that's
hooks
why
and
people,
fingers, always getting hurt. It was great.
All your camping trips ended up with ER visits. Maybe they're like, the insurance.
Nobody ever went to the hospital. It was awesome. You just bleed till you quit bleeding. That's where I learned how to use the short-handled shovel. Because, dude, I didn't know how to. Nobody.
Oh, God, I know where this is going.
Nobody showed me how to use the short-handled shovel before I went off in the woods with it for the first time. When I say primitive camping, I mean there's no outhouse. So you just got to go dig a hole.
Yeah.
Well, here's the thing.
Supposed to.
Nobody told me how to do this or what the process was using the short-handled shovel. I've never done this before in my life. I'm 10 years old. It's my first camping trip. So what do I do? I go off in the woods with a short-handled shovel.
I knew it.
You know which shovel to grab because it's got the toilet paper roll on the handle. So I'm toting the short-handled shovel, and All right, so here's what happened.
I don't think I know this story, but I feel like I know exactly where it's going.
No,
I'm dying.
I went off in the woods with a short-handled shovel, and I'm by myself, and I don't know what to do, really. So I went right by a tree. I'm like squatting, leaned up against the tree kind of, because for stability's sake.
Yeah, you can't squat.
And I did my thing, and I finished up and all that. And then what do I do when I'm done? Well, I go to cover it up. So I'm just covering it up with leaves and some dirt and stuff.
Who slid down into the
Uncle
next
Guy.
I did not know that.
That afternoon.
Oh, my God.
About 2 hours later, he comes back, dude. He's fuming mad. He's pissed off, furious. But he can't help being kind of amused by it at the same time. And then when he starts saying what happened, everybody's just, all the old men are just dying laughing at this. Because, yeah, basically what I'd done is I just plopped one on the ground and covered
right
it up
now
with some woods. And then here comes Uncle Guy back from fishing. Whoop.
There's so much to this story.
Because the leaves are slick and the what I did is slick too. So what are you going to do but slip in it, you know?
My jaw's hurt right now.
I know, mine too,
I'm smiling,
man.
Smiling so much. God bless. Oh, my God.
Nothing
first of all,
shovel story, man.
His name is Uncle Guy.
It is.
Uncle Guy.
Uncle Guy. Rest in peace.
Does he have a sister named Gal?
No.
I mean, Jesus.
He had a bunch of sisters, none named Gal.
See, if the guy didn't slide, Uncle Guy didn't slide down in it, I was going to think that you were just going to pick it up and sling it with the shovel.
No.
Into Uncle Guy.
Yeah, but it was just wound up making a mess because he'd stepped all in it and fell down. And it was rough, man.
God bless, man.
It was a rough scene. But, you know, that's what happens when nobody teaches you how to do things. But, yeah, those camping trips. I mean, I know some people still do stuff like that. But, man, we all used to go.
Oh, yeah.
It was fun. All the men of that generation did it. And, hell, I don't keep it alive. I don't do it either.
Well, it's the family. You know, there's something to that. I noticed it even more so this past Christmas is that when the grandparent, that is, the grandparents are the main core. And then they had a kid or a daughter or three or four of each or whatever. And then all the while, that sunshine that is like the beams of the sun, they're all symmetrical.
Yeah.
But then they have kids. And then they have kids. And they have kids. And then another, you know, I don't know how many years away, they have kids.
Mm-hmm.
Grandparents, sadly, will pass away.
Yeah.
Once that third generation comes in, sadly, the grandparents will probably pass away or be shortly thereafter.
Everybody eventually will.
And then that's where the split goes.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something I've noticed with mine. Sadly, when my grandparents passed and everybody had their own families, it kind of broke away from that. Because my favorite, absolute favorite Christmas memories are in my grandma and grandpa's house.
Absolutely, man. Yeah, my favorite Christmas memories are at my grandma and grandparents' house in Townville.
And not that my house wasn't fun. I mean, that was like Santa Claus and all that stuff. But just that was when all my cousins and aunts and uncles were together, and we were all wrestling and paper fighting and eating the damn best food.
Yeah.
The damn best food.
Yeah.
Oh, man. I miss you, Nanny. Nanny, I miss you. I do.
I miss,
she's my most missed grandparent.
Yeah, on the one hand, I miss those times, and I also think, man, it seemed like people used to see each other and fellowship more back in the day, too. That's another change I don't like as much. But then again, I think about it, I'm pretty sure that when my grandpa saw his friends was those camping trips, and that was about it, because they all had work and families and stuff. So I don't think they really saw their friends a whole lot more than I see my friends now.
That's the thing is,
which is rare.
The day that I'm today when we're recording later on this evening, our friend Dave Guido is coming by my house, and I call him he is a friend. He's
yeah.
in my circle of I don't have that many. Not to sound, I mean, I think most people they break it down and not judge it off social media, but like friends.
No, that dude's one of my best friends in the world.
Like, when's the last time you may have seen him more so than I.
No, I
it's
haven't.
Been like a year and a half.
I live 10 minutes from him and I ain't seen him in like a year.
It's so weird, right?
Yeah.
And I think that, but.
Well, I saw him about 6 months ago. He came by the house. Yeah.
Yeah.
We live 10 minutes apart and I've seen him once in 6 months.
You're an awful friend.
So is he.
Dave.
Oh. Both of us.
Give me a coat. That's kind of where that change has. But, you know, I was telling, I don't know who I was telling this the other day, but with concerts, I think it was you, Jimmy, is one thing that I miss about concerts, especially like, you know, let's give an example here. Let's say, only thing I come up with is Kid Rock. But let's say you had a Kid Rock concert, you know, and he does that song where he even stops singing and he puts the mic up and everyone's singing that sing-along song. Whoever you want to do, that artist. Something in
but
that.
But everybody at this concert stinks like hell.
Okay, Kid Rock wasn't a good one. Let me think.
That's fine. We'll go with Kid Rock, man. We already started. Now, I get what you're saying. But continue. But everybody's
singing.
Carrie
Underwood.
Everybody's singing.
Everyone's singing the same song. Now, you know good and damn well that 99.9% of those people can't sing worth a lick.
Mm-mm.
But when they sing in unison, it sounds harmonic. And it's the energy level. You know, even if you're drunk or high or whatever, even if you're baseline sober, you know that it just feels different. And that's where that discord is definitely missing in society right now.
It's a big shared emotion.
Yeah.
A big shared experience, yeah.
It's kind of like, this probably goes against 90% of the stuff I've said today, but man, I miss singing hymns at church.
It's a very positive thing. It creates that kind of energy you want.
I'm not talking about doing karaoke night. I want a bunch of people singing with me. I want to be like in the world's largest barbershop quartet.
And I'm not talking about like that when we get too carried away with it and like the first 30 minutes of church, everybody just had to stand up and sing 12 different songs.
Oh, yeah. We don't need.
We got carried away for a while there, late 90s.
Yeah. We don't need a cantata.
Uh-uh.
No. Mm-mm. Or a Judgment House.
I mean, how many? I used to go to a church, Washington Avenue Baptist Church. This was when Our God is an awesome
God.
That was like the song. You know, that was
heaven.
The church song for a while in the 90s, maybe early 2000s. Dude, they'd play it for like 20 minutes. And the only words are Our God is an awesome God.
Was that the one where they go around and shake hands and hug on each other?
Every service they do this for 20 minutes.
I was like, why?
Especially Sunday morning, like 20 minutes of that song, which is very repetitive.
I never understood that. It's like, what's... Do that after church in the vestibule.
Church of Christ got it right. No instruments, just the voice.
Vestibule.
The instrument pleases the ear of man. The voice pleases the ear of God. That's what they say.
Oh.
My neighbor, Church of Christ, he likes to talk to me for a long time about religion.
Oh, COC, represent.
Yeah, I'm going to miss him when I move.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
Or when he dies. He's old. He's like 80 almost.
What will happen first? You die or him move?
He'll probably move before I die.
Oh, Jimmy Jack Jackie. I like you.
I like you, man. It's been fun.
I like you.
This has been a good time, but I guess we're about done for now.
Oh, yeah. They're telling us to wrap it up.
Yeah. Well, we're also, I can hear your stomach growling from here.
Did you hear that?
I'm hungry.
That was mine, but if I hear it again, we need to go. We need to go anyway.
Yeah,
okay.
We do.
Episode 22, a little walk down memory road. Do us a favor. Share this with a friend. What's up to all the truck drivers out there that apparently love this so much? Thank you. Spread the word. Put it on your social media if you would. And just let us know what you think about it. Interact with us. Next week, we're going to actually read some tweets and emails and stuff.
Yeah. I'll tell the story next week about the time one of my cousins caught a bass and put an M80 in its mouth with a waterproof fuse and then lit it and threw it back in the lake.
God bless.
Mm-hmm.
Jimmy Jack Jackie.
Matthew.
Thank you.
Thank you. It was a good time.
It's been After Hours with the... What?
After Hours with the Rise Guys.
There, you said it.
We'll be back next Wednesday with more of this. And
it
every Wednesday.
Good. Every Wednesday. Damn right.
All right. Get out. Time to close the doors on another episode of After Hours with the Rise Guys. Subscribe on radio.com and wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Pass it around to your family and friends and other P1s. Thanks for listening. See you next time. Yeah.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the Free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.